Good evening. You can turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to do three sessions tonight. One tonight, two tomorrow, and then a different subject on Sunday. You know this verse, but let's look at it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This chair, all weekend, will represent God. Okay, so this chair represents God. Good. When you see a chair alone, it represents God. Now go down to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The second chair, when we see the second chair tonight, first chair is God, second chair is man, you and me. Okay? So, first thing on the, if you're going to take notes, and you don't have to, but you can. Oops, got to go back. There's the first thing. God created us to know him, not just know about him. You can picture Adam and Eve in the garden. God would speak to them. They would understand that. It wasn't a religious situation. It was a personal situation. Now, there's some things different. This is our grandson, our new grandson, Heath. It's one thing to know about Heath from this picture. This is very different. It's one thing to know Heath from a picture, which is what we did when he was first born. It's another whole thing to know Heath, holding him, handling him, and then giving to grandma when he needed to be changed. It is very different. It's very different. So, what are we saying tonight? Look at verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the seas and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Bless them. God bless them. As we were coming out of the hotel tonight, I was thinking, I wonder how many of these people have any idea that God wants to bless them, that God wants to talk with them, that God wants to communicate with them. Very few. But that's why God created all of us, to have a personal relationship with him. God wants to bless us. Notice, and he said to them, we are not made to do life alone. If God doesn't give instructions to Adam and Eve in the garden, what would they do? They wouldn't know what to do. They were created there. They're clueless. They don't know how to do life in the garden. So the second thing you want to write, not only does God create us to know him personally, but to know his will for us. It's not just to know God. Obviously, that's the key, to know his character, to know that he wants to bless us. But he wants us to know how to do life together. How to do life together. It's a team effort. We're not alone. But most of the world is clueless about this. If you will, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, Old Testament, toward the back of the Old Testament. You know these verses, but it's good to be reminded of them. Since I was created to know God, We also did something this evening. We were created to worship God. We did that at the start. But we're also created to obey Him. And maybe the most obscure thing is to enjoy God. Jeremiah 29, look down at verse 11. This is God speaking to all of us, a verse you know well. For I know the plans I have for you. You can just put your name in there. Make it personal tonight. I know the plans that I have for you, Mark, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And notice how this works. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So look what a great plan that God has for us. It's incredible. Everyone is to have this ongoing relationship with Him. How to do life together. Now, with that understanding, there's a verse in Ephesians. You don't need to turn there. There it is. So be careful how you live. This is God warning us. Don't live like fools, but live like those that are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So Paul reminds us, number one, we're to have a relationship with God. Number two, God's going to speak to us. I need to be able to hear God and be wise because He has a plan for me. Every single day, God has a plan for me. I can understand what God wants me to do. God's plan for me is way better than my plans for myself. And yet, we know from Scripture that God's ways are not our ways. For instance, God's timing is very different than ours. Now, there's a saying in the United States, and I'm not sure whether you have it here, but it'll make a lot of sense to you. The title of this three session teaching is Come Apart or Come Apart. Come Apart or Come Apart. Look at this next verse. Jesus did exactly this. Let me show you what it looks like. With these two chairs together, this is coming apart. It's getting with God. Remember, chair number one is God, chair number two is you. As I have time to be with God, I'm coming apart. You'll see this in this verse in a moment. I'm coming apart. If I spend time in my life understanding the will of God, coming apart, then I won't come apart. Here's what coming apart is, the second part. It's me trying to do life without God. Most of the time, if we're not careful, that's how we do life. We put it on automatic. We have a relationship with God, and we just do our thing. That's what it is. So you're going to see that Jesus knows He has to come apart. This is going to be Jesus. He has to spend time with His Father. If He doesn't, He doesn't even know how to do life. Remember, He set His God nature apart when He came to the earth. And later we hear that Jesus says this, I only do those things that the Father tells me to do. So He role modeled life for you and I. Look at this verse. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. The New American Standard says, and He said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. So what Jesus simply does is come apart. And this next verse, it'll show you what I mean by this. Come apart, number one, is spending time alone with God. That's the first part. The series is called Come Apart or Come Apart. The first come apart is spending time alone with God. That's you. That's me. That's the two chairs. The second part is come apart. The disaster from doing life alone. When God is not in the picture, then my life will actually come apart. That's just the way life works. And we have many people, of course, as you well know, we all know it, but we have people that will come and counsel and they'll say, I've kind of gotten apart from God, away from God, and my life's become a disaster. Hello? What else is new? That's what happens because we're trying to do life alone. Now, you're in Genesis, or actually you're not. You're in Jeremiah. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Let's just follow this through in some parts of Scripture, and I'm going to give you a little assignment at the end tonight. It'll kind of be fun as we go through it. Genesis chapter 12. Let's see if we can see this through the Bible. Men or women getting alone with God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord, or God, had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now, just think about that verse. Here's God. Here's Abraham. I'll be Abraham. Abraham's a pagan. He doesn't know a thing about God. At this point, he's been worshiping a pagan gods all his life. No personal relationship. And God comes to Abraham, and he says to him, I'm God. I've got a plan for you. I'm going to show you a land. So there's that personal relationship. There's the Jeremiah 29 we just talked about. I have a plan for you. And it's the grace of God, because Abraham hasn't been calling out to God. He doesn't even know who God is. You see, God wants to speak to us so much that he goes to a pagan and he says, I'm going to establish a nation with you, Abraham. So come apart. Let me talk to you. He does. By his grace, he gives him this direction. He gives him this beautiful picture. Abraham didn't deserve to hear from God. Do you know you and I don't deserve to hear from God? John 15:16 says this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. John Stott says it beautifully. Before man existed, God acted. Before man stirred himself to see God, God sought after man. In the Bible, we don't see man groping after God. We see God reaching down to man. That's what he wants to do in all of our lives. Well, look at verse 2. God goes on, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Look in those verses, all the eyes. God's doing all of this. Abram hears God's promise to bless him and to use him to bless the whole world. Now, when I speak about you and I hearing from God and his plan for me, don't think it's just selfish. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. But the overall plan is not about us. It's always about God. It's to expand the kingdom of God. That's his goal. Always to expand the kingdom of God. So you and I were placed here to worship God and then expand his kingdom, to tell his praises, the Great Commission. We'll talk more about that on Sunday morning when we talk about living dangerously for God. So even with Abraham, it's not about just blessing Abraham. Notice, I, God, I'm going to do this so that you can bring a light to a dark pagan world. That's what the nation of Israel was always to be. What are we to be? Light and salt. The very same thing. Why? Israel failed in the New Testament. God put Israel aside, and those that are followers of Christ stepped into that place. That's the role we have. So understand, look at verse 4. Is Abraham going to obey God? Yes. So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now notice this. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75. Here's the next thing, and you don't need to copy this because we'll go through this over the next few sessions. Don't worry about copying it, just look at it. If I'm going to know God and His will, it's going to require these things: desire, discipline, dependence, time, solitude, obedience, faith, and prayer. We'll capture those in the next three sessions. So it's going to require something on my part. But God is the one driving all of this. Now, first of all, notice, it's going to require obedience and faith. Tell me again, how old is Abraham? In America, we would 75, you're over the hill. It's too late, can't nothing happen to you. Get your Social Security and retire, whatever. 75 is too old. It's not too old. I'm encouraged by this. This is good. I'm not 75, but I'm very encouraged by this. So age is never an obstacle to faith. Now, is Abraham, like Pastor John, is pretty soon to be a PhD in Bible or whatever he's studying, is Abraham very versed in following God? Is Abraham really wise in following God? No, not at all. So see, to know God, to have a relationship with Him, has nothing to do with age, and it has nothing to do with how much I know about God. God will take care of that as I move along. It's just simple two things: obedience and faith. God says, leave. What's He do? He leaves. How do you leave somebody? You leave your home. You leave everything. I always joke with this. Sarah comes to Abraham and says, where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where do I tell the moving van to go? I don't know. God just says to follow Him. See, that's faith. Easy for us to say, much more difficult for Abraham to pick up his whole life and move it. Why did he do that? Because God said. God said. That's what faith is. Faith is simply believing what God has said is true and acting on it. So you can have faith, but you're going to see all through the Bible, faith isn't really good enough. It has to be active faith. I have to be motivated to respond in obedience to it. Active faith. Remember, Jesus would say to the father that came, go, your daughter's been healed. He went. The woman that had the issue of blood, he said, your active faith, you touched me, you're healed. So it was not only just belief, but it was active. It was active belief. Now, look at verse 5. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they've accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. So how did Abraham respond? So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. This brings up our next point. Knowing God and His will require solitude. Getting alone with God. Not just faith and obedience, but there's going to be solitude. Now notice, let's look at this picture again. What do we have? We have Abraham at an altar. What's Abraham doing at the altar? Did he just build the altar and walk away? No. He's worshiping God at the altar. It's God and man. You were created not just to know God, but to worship God. Not just publicly, I'll challenge you a little bit. This last week, how many times did you get alone in solitude to hear God speak to you? Now, one of the reasons we don't do this, and you guys are no different in Singapore. I've been here many, many times. It's no different than the United States. We call it the hurry sickness. In other words, I'm always hurrying somewhere. Does that relate to you guys? Watching you drive, that definitely relates to you guys. In our stores, that relates to us. Back in the States, it really relates to us because almost all our restaurants are drive-through. Most of our Starbucks now are all drive-through. Get my coffee quick. On we go. And that's the way our life is. Just hurry, 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 hurry. You get in the lane and the guy before you doesn't turn right. Ah, it drives me crazy. And you're speaking to him. He can't hear you, but you're speaking to him because you got hurry, hurry sickness. Now, hurry sickness is the great enemy of solitude. You can't hurry your devotions. You have to have time to sit before God. Notice, turn with me to Mark chapter 1, if you will. Let's look from the life of Jesus again. He sets the example for us. Remember, he knew to hear from God. Abraham sets the example. He goes to an altar and he worships. Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What's that a picture of? God, his Father, and who? Jesus. Solitude. Hurry sickness, gone. He took time. Who took time to do it? Jesus did it. He set his own alarm, whatever that was. He didn't tell his disciples. We know that from the story. They come looking for him. But they knew where to look for him. See, in those days, in a little house where he stayed, there was no place to get solitude. In our houses, there's plenty of apartments. There's a place to kind of get off in a corner. Too many people in that little place. So Jesus had to do what? He had to go outside. Why the outside? Because he had to be alone. See, if you and I don't get alone, somebody's always interrupting us. There has to be that time. Doesn't have to be 2 hours. Doesn't have to be 4 hours. We couldn't live like that. But it should be, you'll see in a little while, 15 or 20 minutes, most days of the week. When we get alone, solitude, that's when we hear God speak. We give him time to speak to us. If we don't give him time to speak to us, here's God, here's me, what am I doing? My life is going to tell me. It's going to come what? It's going to come apart. Because I'm doing life what? By myself. You see, I've been a Christian next month 60 years. I don't really need God. I can do life without God. No, I cannot. I need him just as much today after 60 years as I did before. You can't go on automatic. I have to hear God's voice. Why? Remember what I told you. God's ways are not our ways. Back home at the church, it's just amazing. And we're starting a new satellite campus and a new video campus and just amazing things. You just can't go and say, well, we started the last one like this. We're going to do this one exactly the same. Very much is going to be the same, but we have to hear from God. I have to hear from God. I'm going through now the book of Exodus for the second time. We already went through the book of Exodus about 14 years ago. So I just get my old notes out. I don't have to study. I just go through my old notes and I give it to those people because 80% of those people weren't there when I gave it the first time. Is that right? No, that is not right. Now, are the principles going to change? No. The Bible principles never change. But God will have something fresh to give me to give those people. Fresh application, up to date, raring to go, something speaking to their heart. Where is that going to come? Not alone. It's going to come spending time with God. But it's no different for you. You and I have to spend quality time, solitude, getting alone with God. Now, see if this makes sense to you. When Jesus got us alone, Jesus was always busy, but he wasn't hurried. I haven't got that down yet. He was always busy, but he was never hurried. If you want to follow someone, you can't go faster than the one you're following. Does that make sense to you? That's my problem. Phew. Anybody here ever get ahead of God? And the life comes apart because I'm off doing my own thing. Here's the next thing you want to write. Hurry sickness is a disease that attacks solitude. It is the enemy of really hearing from God. That's what happens. And that will eliminate, and there's a million things that can take its place. Family, kids, telephone, TV, newspaper, books, you name it. That will do it. Now, the next thing I want you to write is this. It sounds stupid, but it is real. If you and I want to follow Jesus, we have to follow Jesus. Let me just make a definition because you'll hear me say it all weekend probably. Back home, I don't use the word Christian too much anymore. It's a good term. It's biblical. But in the United States, if you ask people on the street, are you a Christian? Almost everybody says, I'm a Christian. So, you know, when Jesus went to his disciples the very first time, he didn't say to them, come be a Christian. What are the two words Jesus said to his disciples? Come and what? Follow me. So the term I use now is Christ follower. I'll say to a person, not are you a Christian, but are you a Christ follower now? I know a lot of people that were Christ followers 20 years ago, but now they're off doing their own thing. See, that's very relevant. And people can't say, no. If they're going to be honest and they're not following Christ, they're going to say, no, I'm not following him now. So that's why this statement, if you want to follow Jesus, I have to follow Jesus. And if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to spend time hearing God speak to me. It's so basic, but we go right past it. Why? Most of us, hurry sickness. Hurry sickness. Now, back to Genesis 12. Let's see what happens when hurry sickness comes. Look at verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. By the way, just look at me for a moment. There's a famine. Did God say to Abraham to go to Egypt? No, he doesn't. What does he do? He goes on his own. He hasn't heard from God. He just heads off doing his own thing. Don't make fun of Abram. We've all been there. All of us have taken off, just done our thing. Seems like the right thing to do. Well, look at verse 11. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Abraham at 75 is a pretty wise man. He knows the words to say. Husbands, listen up to that line right there. That's a good one. Verse 12. Lipsy, remember when you go home. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but we'll let you live. So what does Abram do? By the way, this doesn't also come from God. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Now, Abraham, watch this. This is so classic. The picture just before this, where's Abraham? He's at an altar with God. He's worshiping. Let me call the altar, there's a lot of ways to do it, but let me call the altar Sunday services. We're with God and we're worshiping and we're hearing the pastor speak and whatever, and it's great. What's the next picture we have of Abraham? God is nowhere to be found. Abraham's doing life by himself in Egypt. Where's God? Not even in the picture. Didn't talk to him. He's going to get in big trouble, you're going to see. By the way, where is God in our life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? And do you see? It's so easy. So don't make fun of Abram. We have the same problem. God gave this famine for a test. God allowed it. He wanted to see if Abraham would continue to listen to him and obey him. He's trying to say to him, Abram, you can't do life by yourself. You have to listen to me. You can't do it by your own wisdom. By the way, when you see... I'm fine. When you see Egypt in the Bible, it's always a picture of the world. It's a picture of Satan in the world. Why do I do life without God? Just like Abraham did. Because I'm prideful. I don't want to admit that I need God. But I do. I need him. I was not designed to do life apart from God. And that's a good thing. Now, if I don't come apart to spend time with him alone, like Abram, I will come apart. Does he come apart? Big time. We have a problem in the Mideast today with Jews and Arabs. Where did that come from? It came from Abram going to Egypt and bringing back a young lady named Hagar. Hagar produces a son, you'll see. You know the story. So this one time where Abraham doesn't listen to God, we're still reaping the benefits of a life coming apart today with the Arabs and the Jews. Is that amazing? Just one time not listening. Now, when he gets back, God protects him. When he gets back, he's back in Egypt. And this is just a reminder, you don't need to write it. Doing life apart from God causes our life to come apart. Same thing. Look at chapter 13, verse 4. When Abraham gets back to Israel after God, in a miracle, protected him, what's the first thing he does? This is a perfect picture. And where he had first built an altar, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You see, Abraham disobeyed. He knows he's disobeyed. He knows he shouldn't even be alive. So what does he do? He goes right back to the altar. And what's he asked for? You know he's asking for forgiveness. He's getting back in solitude with God again. Now, is God going to forgive him? Yes. Now, Abraham doesn't know the verse because it's not been written yet. Remember 1 John 1:9? If I confess my sins, he is faithful to forgive me. Should God forgive him? No. Does he? Yes. That's what's called grace. So that's the message we have. God is not angry with us. He wants to forgive us. He goes back to solitude. And you know the verse. In fact, I want you to turn to Psalm 39, if you will. There's a time when we get quiet and God speaks to us. And it comes very often in our quiet time, it comes with forgiveness. Psalm 39, verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end, David speaking, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Notice this word, Selah. What does that mean? Here's the definition of Selah. Pause. Stop and think about that. All of you have the old days of DVR or VHS or whatever. You put it on pause. That's what we do when we get along from God. I have a chance to stop, pause, think about life. I defeat hurry sickness. It's here in my quiet time where I get to think a little bit about life. How short life really is. How quickly it goes. And this is a time when I can get alone with God and take Selah, a pause, a rest. What do I do during that time? Verse 6 says, man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He busses about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Verse 6 is a picture of man without God. He doesn't use his time wisely, as we read in 5:16. He just does his own thing. Remember, I like Psalm 39:6 in the New Living Translation. Take a look at it. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. That's a picture of life without God. It's all about wealth. Remember the rich man in the New Testament? I'll build another barn. I'm wise. God says, no, you're a fool. Today, you will be accounted. Now, let me just talk to you a moment about a form that I use. You don't need to have a picture of it. I have a piece of paper in my notebook. Just notebook paper like this. And write these three things down. The first word I want you to write is yesterday. And then right underneath that, just write the Bible. And right under that, just write prayer. That's the form that I use in my quiet time in the morning. First thing is yesterday. So let's just think about yesterday. What am I doing with yesterday? I'm reflecting on what I did yesterday. Just in a very short period of time. Sometimes, now if Abraham was writing that when he got back, what would he write? God, thank you for protecting me while I was in Egypt. That was a stupid thing to do. I ask your forgiveness. I admit I was wrong. And I receive your forgiveness. Or I might say, the first time, God, you got us here to Canaan. Thank you. You're a great God. Thanks for your guidance. Second thing, Bible. I usually spend a few moments in the Word. Using that for God to speak to me. However you do, verse by verse, or topical, or a devotional that you have, it doesn't matter. You want the Word of God. And I usually use the Word of God, and my prayers very often come out of that Word of God. That's what David was doing. It was directing his prayer. And as you know, you can use Acts or whatever, all kinds of different ways to pray. But those are the three things that I do, and usually every day, 5 or 6 days a week, it will fill one page. That's all. Sometimes even a half page. But I've done what? I've taken time to get alone with God and let him speak to me. If I don't do that, then I'm just doing my day on my own. And you'd be surprised how that little period of time, Jesus did it. Remember, he got up very early. He went and he got alone and he let God speak to him. You can make it legalistic. You don't want to make it legalistic. But you want to make it a time where you're sitting before God and you're allowing God to speak to your heart. You can be, and by the way, nobody else is to see that. That's just between you and God. It's just a little, my wife doesn't read my journal and I don't read her journal. I can be very honest with God. Now, obviously, Abraham didn't have a journal. But we can do that today very easily. What? I started doing this about 14 years ago on a real regular basis. Why do I do that? Because it defeats hurry sickness for me. I have to take time. And when I write the third session, I write prayers out. God bless us in Singapore. Help us to be a blessing here as I go to Hong Kong. Do that. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for this. Thank you for being able to talk to the guy on the airplane as Linda and I were coming over. We had a time to talk with the guy. I mean, you're sitting next to the guy for 12 hours. He can't go anywhere. There we are. And so God put us there. We prayed about that before we left. So it's a great way. Now, I want to give you a little homework, and we're going to do it right here just for a couple minutes. It won't take long. Turn to Acts 18, if you will. Now, just look at me, and I'm going to give you this, and then I'm going to break you up into groups of about five or six. Just for like 3 or 4 minutes, I'm going to give you a little homework. Let me show you in Acts 18. Paul's in Corinth, and he's preaching to the Jews. He always goes to the Jews first. Well, pretty soon the Jews got mad at him. And Paul finally, in these first few verses, says, I'm leaving the synagogue. And he goes next door to speak to the Gentiles. That was kind of his way of operating. But you see, look down at verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So what happened? When Paul left the synagogue, the Jewish leader left with his whole family. They got saved, and they went next door. So you can imagine now, there's going to be big trouble. When Paul would go into a town, he always went to a prison first to see what the prison in town looked like. Why? Because he'd normally end there. He wanted to see what it was like. So Paul's there. So here's what I want you to do. In the next verse, this is your homework assignment that we're going to do right here. In the next verse, you tell me what you see God doing to Paul. Why is God saying this to Paul? Notice that they're together. God's speaking to Paul, and he's got his attention. Look at that verse. Verse 9, 10, and 11. So, here, just look at me. You're going to be in groups of 5 or 6, and you're going to say, okay, who came to who first? You don't need to write this down. You can just think about it. Why did God come to Paul? Why do you think he came to Paul? What did God say to Paul? Did it help Paul to hear from God? Was Paul alone? Or was it with a group of people? And after Paul heard from God, did Paul obey? And if he did, what happened when he obeyed? So just break yourself up. There's a group right here. These guys are a group right here. You're a group right here. There's a group right here. And there's a group right there. Good. I gave you 3 or 4 minutes just to talk. Break up, talk. Chris, join this group over here. John, you join your daughter in the back with my wife. All right. Let's just talk about it for a second. Now, the first thing we told you tonight was God wants us to know him. Okay? So we're to do life together with God. Who came to who in this situation? Did Paul go to God or did God come to Paul? God came to Paul. You think God will come to you and speak to you? Or he just only speaks to Apostle Paul? No, God wants to speak to you. By the way, he's speaking to you tonight. Did you know that? His word's alive. He's speaking to us. So why did God come to Paul? This is important. Why did he come to Paul? What did you learn? Somebody speak to me. Okay, so why did he come to Paul? What was Paul? Paul was afraid. The Apostle Paul was afraid? I mean, the mature Apostle Paul was afraid? Well, sure, he's just like you and me. He has never arrived. He hasn't arrived. He's trying. I'd like to be like Paul, but Paul's just like you and I. He's afraid. Now, is that important? How did God know he was afraid? Do you know that God knows what's on your heart tonight in this room? He knows exactly what you need. So God makes the first move. He comes to Paul. Now, what did he say to Paul? Did he chew Paul out? No, he did what? He encouraged him. He said, Paul, what? Don't be afraid. And then he gave him some promises. Nobody's going to harm you. It's going to be okay. See, you and I, if we come from a legalistic background, we're going to say to Paul, Paul, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the leader of this church. You're afraid? How are these people going to follow you? What's wrong with you? If you have a legalistic background, that's what you come with. Everything's negative. You're against everything. Everything's wrong. This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. I have a great video that John's seen it. It's called Me Church. You go to church, it's all about me. Everything's got about me. Got to start this time, got to do this time, got to do this time, got to do this. It's not about you, it's about God. So God comes with grace. And he says to Paul, Paul, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Just trust me. There's faith that's going to be required. How does Paul respond to this? Does he leave the city? See, what Paul was really thinking of doing was leaving Corinth. He's getting out of town. He doesn't want to go to that jail. He's leaving. What does God do? He speaks to him, says, stay here. It's going to be okay. What does Paul do? How does he respond? Obedience. He stays. Now, what if God doesn't come? Think about this. What if God doesn't speak to Paul? The next verse you read where he stays a year and a half, that verse would not be there. The church of Corinth wouldn't be formed. That's where we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Tremendous, tremendous truths. So see, if God doesn't come to Paul, Paul's just going to leave because he's fearful. He's leaving. And when does God come to Paul? During the night. Is Paul alone? Paul's alone. There's no hurry sickness. Paul's sleeping. God gives him a vision. He speaks to him. Does Paul obey or does he obey? He obeys. Now, remember we told you if you're going to follow God, you have to have obedience and faith. Does he know that he's not going to get harmed? He doesn't know what tomorrow brings. But he trusts God. 1.5 years he trusts God. So the first, when you go home tonight, I want you to remember, if you'll come apart and spend time with God, your life will never come apart. All kinds of storms can come, all kinds of trouble can come, and it will, but you can be at peace because God knows what you need and he'll speak to you. Tomorrow we're going to learn how God really speaks to us. Lord, thanks for your word. It's good to be reminded tonight that you know us and you care about us and you want to speak to us. I pray for all of these people and myself included that we'll take some time tomorrow morning, not 3 or 4 hours, but a little time. A little sila time to hear you speak to us, to encourage us, to forgive us, and that we would learn to do life with you so that our life would not come apart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.